was a sudden shock. We weren't expecting this as much early. We could expect that there was abrogation of 370, but we couldn't have imagined that Ladakh will get union territory soon.
Hi, I'm Grishma Kuttar, and this is Voices from the Lockdown, a First Post podcast. We will begin this episode with an update from Jawed Ahmed, who spoke to us about the situation in the valley in our very first episode. Yesterday was a Friday, and that day in the valley means two things: Friday prayers and protests. But since August 5th, the situation has been quite different. Friday prayers haven't been allowed for a while now. How is the situation this time around?
Yesterday, the situation was quite better compared to what we saw earlier. Yesterday, even as there was a security deployment around Jamia Masjid at Nawata in Srinagar, but there was no untoward incident reported from the area. However, the mandatory Friday congregational prayers were not allowed there. So this time it was for the 10th consecutive week, the mandatory Friday prayers were barred there. So in rest of the valley, the prayers were normally allowed at all the mosques, and no untoward incident was reported from anywhere
in the valley, right?
In the valley.
Okay. Thank you, Jawed. It has been 69 days since life in Kashmir came to a virtual halt. As journalists from Kashmir have told us in our previous episodes, the communication blockade continues to hamper everyday life. While the situation in Kashmir remains grim, Ladakh is going through a turmoil of its own. The reaction in Ladakh to the August 5th announcement of Home Affairs Minister Amit Shah was mixed. While a section of the Buddhists, led by the Ladakh Buddhist Association, welcomed this move, the response in Kargil has been quite the opposite. Before we try to understand this difference of opinion, let us try and understand Ladakh as a region. Ladakh was a single district till 1979, after which it was split into two parts: Leh, with a majority Buddhist population, and Kargil, with a majority Muslim population. In 1989, groups in Leh, led by the Ladakh Buddhist Association, demanded that Ladakh be separated from Jammu and Kashmir state and be declared as a union territory. But this didn't come through. Instead, the Indian government formed autonomous hill development councils, both in Leh and Kargil, so as to enable people from the region to govern themselves in matters of local relevance. This sentiment, though, wasn't shared by the leaders of Kargil, who felt that union territory status would mean a step down from statehood. To understand the standoff between the leaders of Leh and Kargil, let us speak to Murtaza Fazli, a journalist from Ladakh. Since the announcement on the 5th of August, how has the situation been in Ladakh?
In the same region with a sparse population of around 2.5 lakhs and having a huge land chunk as a division, to see such different narratives, it is quite interesting. As Ladakh is composed of two districts, that is Leh and Kargil, and while after the abrogation of Article 370, we got to see two different narratives coming from the remote part of Himalayas. First, we will talk about Leh. As since from last 4 to 5 decades, under the leadership of Ladakh Buddhist Association, the people of Leh were demanding a union territory, as they were of the belief that their future is not so well off or developed with the Kashmir. So the demand of UT from Leh is reverberating from last 4 or 5 decades.
While you've been saying that the people of Leh have made this demand, what has the position about UT been in Kargil?
When we read political history of Kargil of last 1 decade or 2 decades, see, there were developments in whole Jammu and Kashmir about threat to diplomacy, or various interlocutors came in Jammu and Kashmir, and Kargil was also the part of that negotiations. And whenever these interlocutors or people working on threat to diplomacy in peace process in Kashmir came Kargil, the people of the Kargil, particularly the religious and social and political state of Kargil, were of the belief that they will always remain with the unity of Jammu and Kashmir. They never want to do any sort of bifurcation or trifurcation. So they feel betrayal, or they have been cheated. Their consent was never taken, as people of Leh always wanted UT, but here the people of Kargil never wanted UT. And yeah. They also believe that they have some social and economic and cultural association with the valley. And
but isn't that true this? With the case of Leh as well? While Kargil is geographically closer to Srinagar, like you've said, the people of Kargil are culturally similar to the people of Leh, being Ladakhi, right? And would it be accurate to say that the people of Kargil are sort of sandwiched between Srinagar and Leh?
That's the reason that the idea of Jammu Kashmir was that all the three regions are interdependent on each other culturally, socially, economically and otherwise. That's why if you separate or bifurcate any part of this region, it will have implications on the all three regions of the state. And similarly, the people of Kargil are suffering from that dilemma, that when you bifurcate the state and union territory to one part of the state and the union territory to other part of the state, there will be a sort of chaos and disorder. And Kargil is similarly suffering as it gets sandwiched between Leh and Kashmir. Yeah.
No, but the leaders who've been demanding UT status have also been saying that the reason why they want that status is because there has been some form of discrimination that they felt they faced at the hands of the Kashmiri government. That is what has been the position of many of the Ladakhi Buddhist leaders, for instance.
So, yes, there were some instances, some cases of that people of Ladakh felt that they are segregated from the mainstream of Jammu and Kashmir. But yes, there was a development process compared to Kashmir. Ladakh was growing at a much better pace, and here the people, particularly the social, political and religious state of the section of the society, believe that somehow things are not going well after the abrogation of Article 370. As now, earlier the people of Kargil and the region of the Kargil was a part of state, and there are different procedures, developmental phases, while state has some extra benefits. And the people here feel that now this situation has got demoted from a statehood. They are now, earlier they were part of a statehood and now they are part of a union territory. And that also without a legislature. So people
which
here
means
are quite
saying that they view it as a step down in terms of funding and access to resources, etc.
Yeah, definitely they feel that they have got demoted, as recently there was a decision by the state, by the central government, that a medical college and a cricket academy and a labor hospital has been granted to Ladakh. But when you see the position of these three institutions, it has been given to Leh, and people of Kargil are agitating against it. So when the governor of the state is promising that these two districts will be equally treated, and within a month of implementation of Union Territory for Ladakh, you are giving an extra edge or favor to the people of Leh, then it's obvious that people in Kargil are feeling betrayed or neglected.
Murtaza, also, what has the opinion of the leaders of the Hill Council of Kargil been? There have been ongoing talks between the leaders of the Hill Councils of Kargil and Leh, along with the MP of Ladakh. And there have been conversations with the central government as well. So where does that stand? Where
unanimous
does the official stand?
The unanimous feel of the political parties, whatever political parties like Indian National Congress or National Conference or PDP or PDP and other social and religious organizations that have an influence on the politics of this place, they from the day one they were against the abrogation of the 370 and implementation of UT. And still they are on this same belief. However, there were some negotiations with the governor and principal secretary, whom also visited Kargil. But there were discussions and negotiations, but whenever we get to talk with these politicians, they were of the belief, that now we are a part of Union Territory, but still we are not sure about our future, and still there is a feel of agitation amongst the political section of the Kargil society.
Right.
Yeah.
But largely, what has the word been on the streets of Kargil? That is, what do people think, or how have people of Kargil reacted to this announcement on the 5th of August? Like, what does it mean to them? Are people familiar with this process of turning into a UT, or is there confusion? What is the situation like?
the initial reaction of the people was an utter shock. As common people of Kargil, there are some mixed responses as in initial days. Until now, people aren't able to understand what's happening and what will be their future, what is in the kitty of Union Territory and how this whole process changed. And also the feeling in people is that these are very strategically important part of India, as it has, Ladakh has border with China also, with Pakistan, and it has remained as a center of 2 to 3 wars in the past, and particularly in the last, the famous Kargil war, people sacrificed a lot for the sovereignty of the nation. And now when they feel that the sacrifices they had, then at least the state should have consulted with them that whatever the decision will be they doing, they at least should have consulted them once. So there's a feeling that when you are a part of a place that has remained under wars for decades, you have seen many wars and you have done so much sacrifices and you have so much suffered, then they expect also that the government should consult them about the developmental process in this region. So somehow they feel that they have been ignored and they haven't been made a part of the developmental process.
As compared to Kashmir, though Kargil has network services, internet is not working in Kargil. How has that affected the people of Kargil, or how has that deterred normalcy in Kargil?
Yeah, it has. It is affecting different sections of people, like particularly students, particularly different those who are dependent, like who are dependent on internet for their works. Like this is the 21st century, and in places like Kargil also, people are dependent on internet, and particularly journalists are also suffering for sending their stories. And
is it difficult for you to like report when you file your stories? Is it difficult for you?
Yeah, but recently I had an experience. I was out of the station around 30 kilometers away, so there was no internet. I had to travel around 50 kilometers back and through to the hometown, and then I could send data, which was not that much, around 10 to 20 KB only. But I had to travel around 50 kilometers to send that story to my editor.
That is all that we have from the third episode of Voices from the Lockdown. Tune in at 8 tomorrow for the next episode.